The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Whitney Elkins Hutton is a financial mentor. She's a real estate investor. She is the author of Money for Tomorrow, How to Build and Protect Generational Wealth. She's the director of investor education at PassiveInvesting.com, and she is back on Lifeblood. Welcome back, Whitney.
Thank you so much, George. It's such a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Refresh our memory. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, I'm the director of investor education at PassiveInvesting.com, and I spend majority of my time helping investors understand how to invest in real estate and maximize the highest and best use of their time. My journey in real estate kicks off in 2002 completely by accident. I got into live-in flipping and house hacking, did great there, built up buckets of equity, but I didn't have my time back. And then I jumped into single-family rental investing, scaled up a 36-rental portfolio, and then decided, hey, going bigger is better. Let's do multifamily. But all this time, I was trying to figure out, how do I get those five freedom in life? Financial freedom, time freedom, choice freedom, freedom to make an impact, freedom to travel the world. And that's where I really doubled down and scaled our passive side of our real estate portfolio, as well as into business and other assets. And where I'm at today, my husband and I, we have over 6,500 residential units, 2,200 self-storage units. That's our portfolio, but we are super excited to help other investors scale similarly.
So I appreciate all that. Highest and best use of time and money, that is a worthwhile endeavor to try to find those things. And you've mastered certain areas and then pivoted to the next and then pivoted to the next. Do you like learning, or is it out of necessity? Is it somewhere in the middle?
Yes. Yes to both. I love learning. I've always been, a curious mind. I've always, my parents just cultivated, and I don't know how. I'm still trying to crack that code, an immense amount of drive. However, it's been out of necessity to try to, put that knowledge to use, because it's not so much gaining the knowledge of financial independence and how money works and how investing works, but really putting it into action, building the capability, the processes and the systems in order to execute and scale and get the return that you need from your portfolio. And so, it hasn't been a smooth trajectory. I always laugh when people say, teach me what you do. And I'm like, guys, that was a 22-year journey. I will try my best to collapse time for you. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, Money for Tomorrow.
That's just it, right? It's like, okay, how do I actually learn from the experience and mistakes of others? How do I actually do that? Take and apply what they've done. So do you feel you did that with the book?
I've mastered some concepts learning from other investors, some big names out there, but also I've gone out and created my own mistakes. And really with the book, what I'm trying to help people do is to really understand how money works, how you actually should, the lens of which you should be looking through, how you create money. Right now in this market cycle, what are the six main ways that you can optimize your portfolio in order to keep as much as possible? Because if you can keep as much as possible, now you got, you can master the seven ways in order to make it grow, whether the market goes up, down, or sideways. That's part right there. I think that's where a lot of investors spend most of their time on and probably commit the most mistakes. I will say most of my mistakes have been made in that arena. But those are all three different muscles, skill sets. As investors, you have to learn how to master all three areas. You can't just master one or two and be successful. The people that truly pass on generational wealth master all three of those areas as well as passing on wealth. And so, yeah, I've learned from the mistakes of others. I've learned from the knowledge of others, and I've made my own. And I really hope, you know, with the book that I've helped people unravel why some of those mistakes have happened. That way they can honestly go make their own.
It certainly does make sense that as we are trying to figure out how something works, that there's going to be the other side of it. It's like, I just figured out how to make a lot of money, but so much of it is coming out the other side and I'm not holding on to it. And then it's okay. Oh my goodness. Now I need to figure this out. What were the three areas? Keep as much, grow as much.
Yeah. So if we back up, like the whole objective is generational wealth. And so in order to meet that objective, you have to master four areas. Create wealth, ideally in your sleep. That's why a lot of us love real estate investing, because we get tuned into this passive income, right? You know, how can we leverage our time, or actually remove our time completely by how much money we make? How can we keep wealth, right? As real estate investors, we're super focused on taxes, like, you know, in order to maximize the velocity of our money, how can we, you know, save that and reinvest? But we also need to take a look at, you know, how are you using debt wisely? How are you using insurance? Have you reduced all the fees you possibly can in your portfolio? And those three areas right there could help save hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of your investing lifetime. Mm-hmm. This totally outweighs, you know, cutting the cord on your cable, or like reducing, you know, how much you travel or you eat out, right? We're looking to really move a lever, not just push a needle. And then, you know, number three, how do we grow that wealth? How do like the Rothschilds do it? How did the Carnegies do it? Like, what were those, you know, how does Ray Dalio do it? What are those principles they're focusing on when they look at any investment? We're not looking at the 100 point due diligence list. We want to know what that due diligence list measures. It measures how to preserve capital, how to create cash flow, how to build equity, how to maximize tenant, you know, tax benefits, and then a few other things. And then we want to master how to pass that wealth on. Planning for our incapacity. We also want to have the correct legal documents in place. Those are two maneuvers that I think most investors are keen into. But now, what are the real rocks that we need to have in place in order to prepare the next generation to take what we have built and steward it and grow upon it?
There it is. Create wealth, keep wealth, grow wealth, and pass it on. Working to optimize, find the highest and best use for your time and resources as life has gotten so much more expensive and interest rates have gone up. Has that changed your thinking about any of this, or are the principles still sound? Just you need to pay a little closer attention.
Well, I think it would shift my focus. It hasn't changed what I'm doing in my portfolio. You know, when the money's flowing in, you know, if I'm working with a high net worth investor, you know, the money's coming in, they're able to place investments. But when that kind of spigot turns off, or it becomes a little bit more challenging, or they can be able to exit their stock options, now they're like, oh, how am I going to pay the kids' college tuition bill? you know, I did have like hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in for my investment every single year, but now like that's cut in half. Like, now what do I do? Well, we just need to pivot our attention back to like, how do we keep the money? So I think we're constantly in this intention of how do we grow and keep, grow and keep, grow and keep. And, you know, I heard the term called it one time is like, build a fortress balance sheet. If you put the systems in place to maximize how much money you're keeping, meaning you're paying attention to every year, how you're optimizing your debt, renegotiating all your insurances, getting all of those fees out of your portfolio, sidestepping provisional income, sidestepping like retirement fees, you know, now you're going to be able to, you know, and maximizing you can on your taxes. Now you're going to create like a bucket of cash that in down years or in challenging years, like we're in right now, you're going to, you know, be able to piece together like $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 at the end of every year. But in the up years, you're going to be able to, you know, set aside and create velocity with hundreds of thousands of dollars to move forward into your next investment.
I love it. I think that makes sense. Of the four areas, I'm sure that you talk about all of them all the time. And so, not that it gets boring, but what is the most exciting thing for you right now? What are the topics or the ideas or concepts that you really get most lit up by?
Well, I think it's not so much about what I get lit up by, but what people really need to hear right now. And so the two areas that I'm really focusing on with investors is one, how to make sure that you are looking at every investment in your portfolio and that it abides by as many as you of those seven pillars of wealth as you possibly can. This is a great time to optimize the portfolio because as investments start cycling out and they start reperforming here in 2 or 3 years, you have essentially re-interviewed that operator, re-interviewed that investment, and now you can make some pivotal changes as you move into the next phase of your investing career. So really, I love helping people understand those seven pillars. One of those investments right now in this market cycle that I'm super excited about is debt investing, because where we are in this market cycle, you know, banks have, you know, tightened their belt on how much they lend, especially in real estate. And it's created a vacuum for the average investor to step into and, you know, essentially provide that solution. Now, a lot of people are like, why real estate? Like, you know, isn't real estate having a challenging moment right now? Well, not in single family residential real estate. It's not, you know, quite frankly, it continues to outperform inflation. It continues to outperform the stock market on 10 years rolling, 20 years rolling basis. And we're undersupplied. And what did we just do? What did the Fed just do? Any prayer that we had at, you know, on continuing to boost starts to close that gap in the next 5 to 6 years, that undersupply gap has evaporated. And so it's created a unique opportunity in today's market. If we can continue this supply redevelopment, even just development moving forward, you know, again, that's a unique area that us as investors get to solve and take advantage of.
I like it. I think it makes so much sense to be focusing on constantly optimizing, but the opportunity of the debt investing. So you probably already told me this, but how do you actually do that? What are some really practical ways that you're able to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like investing in real estate debt funds. I mean, we have one here at passiveinvesting.com. I mean, that's, you know, I'd encourage anybody to take a look at our fund. But really, I want to be as conservative as possible, even in this environment, because just because you're debt, just because you're as low as you possibly can technically be in the capital stack, doesn't mean that it's actually conservative. I see so many debt funds out there that have leverage on them, that are blending single family and commercial and multifamily and development all together, which is not wrong. I want to make sure that I caveat that it is not wrong. It is just not the most conservative way to invest in debt right now in this market cycle. And so if you're an investor that is like, hey, I want to take my money out of the bank.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
But I want to put it in the next conservative investment. You know, I feel like this, you know, type of debt fund is probably right there. It is, you know, single family fix and flip in the Carolinas. We have over 40 years of experience ourselves, our team, in fix and flipping in that area. And we work with borrowers, repeat borrowers. We have 85% repeat borrower rate.
Awesome. Nice. Okay. Perfect. So in terms of the book, what are you hoping that somebody gets when they pick it up and read it?
Well, you know, there's really two kind of camps of people that are, you know, probably going to get the most out mileage out of the book. One, it's the new investor. And so somebody who's really just starting off, like, you know, I heard about this thing, passive investing. I heard about this thing, financial freedom. Like, how do I even start putting together the plan to make it happen? You know, that's what the book is that end-to-end plan that I wish I had when I first started investing. It's the plan that I wrote for my daughter. Like, if something happened to me, like, she could pick up that book and essentially it teaches her all the mechanics in order to move forward. Now, I said it was for two camps, you know, then you got your more seasoned investor. Without a doubt, I have yet to run into a seasoned investor who wasn't missing one of those foundational rules that they didn't have buttoned up. And usually it's in that area of like six, it's either tracking area, like how are they creating income appropriately? Are they tracking everything? Do they know where their money is going? Or it's in that keeping area. You know, they usually have some sort of like, you know, what I call a failed moat around their castle. There's a way that they're just leaking out tens or hundreds of thousand dollars, you know, in their investment portfolio. And so even that person could go back, and while it might take them through some of the basic mechanics, they're going to pick up the two or three key points they needed to have in place in order to make them feel shored up, unstoppable, and solid in this today's environment.
Nice. I appreciate that. As you are, I think it's interesting that really, no matter who you talk to, there's still some opportunity or people are missing something. What is one of the mistakes that you find that's kind of the most common? You're like, oh, they're doing that thing again.
Two. First mistake is, especially if they're a seasoned investor, they lose sight that they need to be, they need to understand why their due diligence checklist, you know, is crafted the way it is. You know, how that checklist is to measure certain key areas: capital preservation, cash flow, equity growth, tax benefits, the performance of the operator, is leverage being used wisely, and how is this asset going to help me hedge inflation? Okay. If they can take an asset in their checklist and reorganize everything to make sure that their questions fit in those seven key areas, and then they analyze an asset, moving forward, they're just going to be in that much better spot, because they're going to be able to like check the box, like, hey, it hits all seven of these pillars. But even looking backwards, if they look at their current portfolio they're invested in, they're going to realize, oh, that's why I am not getting the returns that I thought I was going to get in today's environment. That's the exit, that asset that I need to exit as soon as I can. Or, you know, ideally, this is why this asset is performing so well. This is why it doesn't cause me any stress. I would need to do more of this. The second area is just really tracking your income, tracking your expenses, tracking your portfolio. Data is power. Knowledge is power. And it doesn't get you to the end in and of itself. You still have to be able to make moves off of that data. But if you don't have the data at your fingertips to begin with, like, how can you begin to make an intelligent decision?
Almost impossible, I would imagine. And particularly when we're talking about holding on to the money, and, you know, once you realize, oh, 1% does make a big deal, and 2% and 3% and 4% and 5%, that's what you're talking about. So making sure that you're optimizing. Love it.
Well, I have one investor, you know, one client that I've been working with. I mean, she came to me and she was like, okay, this is project 15,000. I need to find 15,000 every month. I know it's there. I just don't know how. I'm like, okay, show me your income and expenses. And she was like, excuse me. I was like, okay, here we go. Like, and sometimes we just need that nudge, right? Like, I coach kids soccer, and we always bring it back to basics. We open up every practice. We get the legs warmed up. We run around. And what do? We pass. And then we shoot, right? We dribble. We practice the basics all the time. It is no different with investing.
I love it. The blocking and the tackling, the passing, the kicking, the shooting, all of it. Well, Whitney, thank you so much for coming back on. Where can people learn more about you, and where can they get their copy of Money for Tomorrow?
Yeah, you can reach out to me at passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. There I've got some free goodies. You can also get access to my calendar. We can talk all things passive real estate. And then also Money for Tomorrow, if that sounds like something that could help you out in your investing journey, you can find that at biggerpockets.com/moneyfortomorrow or on Amazon.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Whitney your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com and you can grab some time on our calendar, learn a little bit more about everything we've been talking about. Pick up your copy of Money for Tomorrow on Amazon or at biggerpockets.com/moneyfortomorrow.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, Whitney.
Thank you again, George.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.